Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are continuing our series, Life to the Full, and I am joined by two special guests and friends to talk about a fun topic. It really is a fun topic to discuss. First, we're joined by a member of our generosity team on staff, Katie Deachin, first time on the podcast. Katie, welcome
to the Conversations Podcast. Thank you. Happy to be here.
And I'm joined by one of our overseers, Bob Walker. Bob, you've been on the podcast before, but it's good to have you back. It's been a while.
Thank you, Taylor.
Yes. Happy to have you. Some say you have the voice of God, so I'm excited.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that.
Any chance we can have you on the podcast is a treat. So I'd love to ask y'all, I don't know who wants to go first, just the thoughts on the message on Sunday. Jose is not here. Normally, I ask him kind of his thoughts leading up to the message, but would love to hear y'all's thoughts. Y'all had a preview of the message before Sunday, so even just your thoughts when you heard about the message coming up on Sunday, why it's important to talk about generosity, and just how you hope people responded to it on Sunday.
Well, I think any time that you are talking money in church, you know, you're walking a fine line, mm-hmm. and people can interpret it a lot of different ways. But I think Jose handled it beautifully from the standpoint of Scripture and the Scripture that he brought to the message. I mean, money is talked about more in the Bible than practically any other topic. And because of that, obviously God puts a lot of importance on it. But I think the thing that hit me the most is it's not all about money. It's really about the heart. It's mm-hmm. about, you know, where are you willing to engage with the Lord and with your church to take it to the next level? And where are you in your generosity journey?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that the message was cool how we got to walk through two chapters of really rich scripture, and the passages covered so many different aspects of the generosity journey. And something new that struck me when reading it in its entirety, those two chapters, was how, you know, we're listening to Paul talking to real people just like us, and he's addressing real, tangible, physical things that they were walking through as church members. And it just made it more applicable, I think, to kind of put myself in their shoes. When instead of in the past, I've read a lot of those scriptures just pulled out, you know, one here, two there type of thing.
Yeah. So. Well, and we can jump into that passage in a second, 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, chapters 8 and 9. But first, I wanted to look up at the verse, John 10:10, which is kind of the theme verse for the mm-hmm. series. And the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so they may have life and have it to the full. And normally, to y'all's point, when it comes to money, sometimes even when the church is talking about money, people think, sounds more like the thief. They're trying to, you know, ask for money, or they're trying to, they need something. And so how is generosity tied to abundance? Because I think that goes contrary to everything that our world might say, or even just our own flesh sometimes, where it's like, wait, how can I live fully and abundantly when I'm actually depleting my resources or giving away things that I've worked hard for or that I've received as a gift? You know, how is that? How are those tied together?
Well, I think Scripture speaks to that from the standpoint of, you know, don't store up your treasures here on earth, but in heaven. I think the abundance that we have here spills over into how we use that abundance and where we take that abundance. Do we hoard it? Do we keep it all for ourselves? Do we go buy new cars and new houses and all that? Or do we look at where God wants us to use the things that He's blessed us with? Mm. Because honestly, our abundance is simply our stewardship of what God has given us. Mm-hmm. And if we keep that in mind and realize that, you know, I don't own this. I am just being allowed to use it as a steward, and to be, you know, that steward, you know, it's His anyway. So I'm not really giving Him anything of mine. I'm mm-hmm. giving back to Him what's already His.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that earthly resources they're a false sense of abundance, if you will, or a false sense of safety. And just like Bob said, they're to be used, they're to be stewarded for God's kingdom. And instead of having the tight fist that Jose referenced. We want to open our hands and not have a scarcity mentality, but we want to have an open heart to how we're supposed to steward the resources and not lean on, just like we don't want to lean on our own understanding, you know, when we make decisions, we don't want to lean on our earthly resources and find hope and safety and security in those instead of in our relationship with the Lord and our ultimate hope that we have in heaven. So,
yeah, I love one of my favorite parts about the church is how intergenerational our church is. And I think about the last few Sundays, whether it's celebrating college graduates, we had baby dedications on Mother's Day. You know, we just have so many ages of people, so many stages of life. And I would love to hear y'all's thoughts on how you would encourage someone that's maybe listening to the message on Sunday thinking, okay, once I have enough, then I can start to give. Or this is more applicable once I reach my life goals for wealth. And so how do you encourage someone, whether they're in college or they're, you know, a young family that's starting out, you know, or even just older in life, but still haven't reached their goals or their what they're hoping for as far as wealth. How does generosity play into that?
For me, it's like, and I mentioned the story that, you know, I was challenged as a senior in college by one of my mentors who he had basically discipled me for 4 years to at least begin to give. Now, it wasn't much. It was probably, you know, $10, $15, $20, $25 a month, I don't know. But it got me into a habit of, you know, realizing that, you know, generosity is not the amount you give, it's the fact that your heart is there to give it. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to the whole thing about, you know, this is all God's anyway, I mean, here I was graduating from college, I had a job, so I went to the job, and, you know, it was just something that felt right at that point.
That's good. Katie, yeah. What would you add?
Well, I think walking in the obedience of just give, of starting to give, no matter what life stage you're in, is going to exercise your muscle of giving. And I'm a big believer that when we step out in faith in what the Lord has called us to do in Scripture, that He's not going to leave us hanging. Mm-hmm. And so I think that being generous in a wise way is only going to return good things for us from the Lord, and it's going to encourage our heart. And then the other part of that I would say is every life stage, your kind of marker of, well, I've made enough, now I can start giving, it's going to keep moving. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that you'll ever get to a finish point.
Yeah.
You know, you have different needs in every different life stage. Maybe your family grows and you need more money for that. And so if you have the practice set first and ahead of time, then it makes it so much easier to continue it as you go through every different life stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, and we were young marrieds at the time, and I remember one of the best pieces of advice that I ever got from, again, one of my mentors was that, you know, as you begin to increase your income, pick a lifestyle that you're comfortable with and stay with it. You know, don't try to always be adding more, but, you know, pick that lifestyle, stay with it, and that gives you resources that you can then give back to the Lord.
Yeah. I think about giving as a spiritual discipline, something that we've talked about as a church before, and just how sometimes, and I love how Jose, I feel like he did a great job graciously kind of inviting the church into generosity without some, I know some churches, it's just such a, to your point, Bob, a delicate topic to walk that line. But I see it, when I start to think about it from a spiritual discipline standpoint, I see it almost like scripture memory. I think of our friend Bob Moss and how he's always advocating for scripture memory. It doesn't do him any good whether we memorize scripture or not, but he's just encouraging it for our own sake, and kind of what Jose shared about how God wants for us more than he wants from us. And that's just something that I think about when it comes to the other spiritual disciplines, fasting or something else. It's impacting the person's heart. And so I would encourage people, hey, you should fast, or hey, pray about, you know, memorizing scripture, reading your Bible, all of that. And that's not for my gain, like my selfish gain. Right. It's for their, you know, their good. And that's what, not only, you know, as a church, we want that for everyone, but more importantly, God wants that for each of us. And that's why he put it in our word. So I think that seeing it as a spiritual discipline has helped, even though just like all spiritual disciplines, they're not very flashy or exciting things to do. And yet, it's a step of faith and obedience that then allows us to further shift our hearts towards that. I love the story that you shared, Bob, just your own personal journey with generosity in those early stages of life and just, being introduced to the concept of generosity. Katie, put you on the spot here, but you were instrumental in helping create this tool that Jose unveiled on Sunday that's an assessment, kind of a generosity pathway. And so I'd love for you to kind of, Jose briefly kind of explained some of it on Sunday, but would love for us to take time and talk about just even the four kind of aspects. They all start with P, so we knew Jose would be on board with that.
Alliteration.
But yes. But basically, the four different types of givers, and it's been cool to, we can't see, obviously, any data on who filled it out, but we can just see that people have already started using it since Sunday. But we'd just love to hear your thoughts on kind of the heart behind the tool, and then we can kind of, I'd love for both of us, or all three of us, to get in the weeds on these four different types and kind of the resources available for each one.
Yeah. So the concept of the generosity pathway is for it to create language, a shared language for our church, where we can assess our own hearts and our own generosity journey. And we can see where we stand on the pathway, at what spot, and how we can move from one spot to the next. And so we really want the tool to be informative, and then also to be encouraging for how you can grow in your becoming a generous person of faith. So you want me to talk about the four? Four pathways. So the first one is the pre-giver. And I think that the biggest thing about a pre-giver is that they're still in a learning and exploring phase, and they're learning what the Bible says about generosity. They're working through maybe some baggage that they have around money or giving or stewardship, with either personally or their relationship with the church. And so they haven't started giving yet, but we're hoping that people will use the resources in the tool and start trying to answer the questions that they might have, or open up the line of communication between themselves and the Lord, and let the Spirit work in their heart to prompt them for what does giving mean to them in this stage.
I'll jump in real quick on this one. I love, Bob, what you shared just about your own story, because I've heard it from others too that I've asked when I've just personally been like, hey, so tell me about your generosity story, or kind of where you saw yourself in these stages. And scripture was a big part in helping go from a pre-giver to a giver in some way. So I love that you shared that.
A lot of it is family culture. I mean, what you grew up with, maybe your family had no generosity culture at all. So, and mine really didn't have that. So getting into it and learning about that, I think, was a big part of making those commitments as we go. And I won't say I was always consistent with this. I wasn't. But about 10 years ago or so, 10 or 12 years, I can't remember, I met a guy named Bruce Wilkinson, who challenged me, among others, very specifically, scripturally, with this. And I can say, for my wife and I, it changed our lives.
Wow.
As far as our generosity journey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Katie, continuing on with this, I think there's the pre-giver, and then it goes into the periodic giver.
Yeah, so the periodic giver is someone who does give, but it's not pre-planned, and it's usually in response to an appeal, a specific need that's presented at the church or outside of the church. And this person might be exploring, how does generosity connect with discipleship, and how does generosity connect with my spiritual journey? It's not just something that I respond to out of emotion, but instead it's very much tied with my relationship with the Lord and my walk as a Christian.
And then proactive.
So a proactive giver, they're giving consistently and with intention. So they're planning out maybe a percentage of their income. They have learned the biblical foundation for what it means to be generous. And people in this category might be, like we were talking about earlier, in all kinds of different life stages, and that might impact how much they think that they can give. But they do really connect with the mission of the church and see generosity as a way to move that forward.
Mm-hmm. And lastly.
Last but not least, so partner giver. A partner giver is somebody, I think what makes a partner giver distinct is not how much money they give, but instead it's that, just like Bob was talking about a little bit ago, they choose a lifestyle that allows them to be generous. Mm-hmm. So they set a bar for themselves and to stay under, and then that allows them to have abundance that then they give away.
That was awesome. I felt like that was helpful to go through all those, because Bob, I feel like you left us with a teaser there when you shared how Bruce Wilkinson's, you know, kind of discipleship and talk radically shifted it. Do you mind sharing a little bit about what that was, either the things that he taught or just what moved in your encounter?
Well, I think, you know, where we were at the time, I was nearing the ending of my career, still working, but it was just the Holy Spirit was just really active during this conference. And I'll never forget, I don't know if you know Bruce Wilkinson or not, but
definitely heard of him.
Pretty amazing teacher. He walks in and he's looking at his notes, and he just folds up his notes and he said, God is speaking to me about just speaking from the heart. And he did. And it was an amazing 3 days. We were in Colorado Springs. 3 days of just learning from him what generosity is all about. And it was a struggle for us, because I didn't really know where we were going to find the resources to fulfill this, because I was still in my 60s at that point. But now that I'm in my 70s, we have a strategy now, and I don't know if that we really want to get into those weeds, but there are ways when you are entering your 70s that you have a much wider palette of opportunity to be more generous.
Yeah, I'll brag on you. We don't necessarily have to get into all the specifics, but Bob has been super helpful to Katie and I and our team, just learning all the different ways, many of them with tax implications or just trying to resource and better equip our church family.
I've never learned so much about IRAs as I have in the last year. But it is all so cool and interesting, because they are great resources and they can be used for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. And when you're my age, and I'm 74. You have something called an RMD, which is a required minimum distribution, mm-hmm. if you have IRAs or 401ks or whatever. And by using that vehicle of a qualified charitable donation, you basically don't have to pay taxes on it. The church doesn't have to pay taxes mm-hmm. on it. And it applies towards your required distribution. So, you don't pay taxes on it. I mean, basically everybody wins, maybe except for the government, but but everybody wins from that. Plus, it gives you the opportunity to plan ahead and look at, where do we need to go over the next year? And Karen and I do that every December. We sit down and we go through and we say, okay, where do we need to be applying these mm-hmm. resources?
Yeah. I love that. And just through prayer and being able to see mm-hmm. God's will for how he wants you to use your resources.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's given. Mm-hmm. Katie, it's neat because as a church, we speak to both, on the partner level side where there's mm-hmm. so many resources and available to them, but even down to the pre-giver and just everything in between. So I'd love if you gave a little plug to some of the resources that people who maybe had not have taken the assessment yet, kind of what's out there for them.
I think what's cool about the resources available in this area is there is a lot available specifically for how to be generous and steward your resources based on what scripture says. And so the world has a lot to say about money and finances, but the Bible does. And because of that, Christians have been able to create resources for other Christians. And so we should be turning to scripture and the church to get information like this. So, for instance, the pre-giver category, we acknowledge and, want to honor the fact that people might be financially in a place where they're struggling, and finances are a big stressor. And so we wanted to include some resources there that are going to help people figure out how to steward their resources. And if debt is an issue, you know, there's resources for that. And then as well as there are Bible reading plans, if you want to learn about the scriptural basis for generosity, mm-hmm. There are really cool books.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time.
Podcasts. I tried to find resources that are going to appeal to people who like different mediums, right? Like, mm-hmm. I love a podcast. Someone else might love a book. There's even a couple curriculums that we've linked to, which if you wanted to gather in some people in your community or your spouse or your family and go through that together, that could be some really rich time to bring community into the conversation.
I actually want to ask about that because that was something I was thinking about. Bob, in your story, you shared how it was through a mentor relationship mm-hmm. that conversation began to be right. addressed. I'd love to talk about community and the value. It doesn't need to be, you know, you're going to a group of 20 mm-hmm. people and just sharing all your finances, but would love for y'all to speak to the importance of inviting someone into that conversation, maybe just to get their advice or their feedback. It can be a very intimidating topic, even just to talk to one close friend about it. So how have y'all seen, how important is that to talk with someone about it?
Well, I think, you know, at a certain point, you're going to want to have some type of counselor you know, I encourage you to go to a Christian counselor that not only has the financial acumen, but also has a grounded in scripture and can kind of help guide you towards, how do I make that giving happen? Mm-hmm. I have been working with a guy now for probably 40 years he has sold me so much stuff, I can't believe it. But, I go to him because he's a great resource. He's on top of it. But he also understands our heart, that, you know, we have a heart to give. And so what he does is try to counsel us in how best to get to that point to where we can.
Yeah, that's a great point. Mm-hmm. I think not only with the financial acumen, I think about even just people like a community group leader or a trusted friend that you could just come alongside and say, hey, let's either read some scripture together or mm-hmm. let's have a conversation about this. I know some friends, they've gone to the extreme. I have a friend of mine who he has a friend or two that they run any major purchase. I don't know if it's like over $5,000 mm-hmm. or something, but they like have a friend, and it's not legalistic. It's just more like, hey, help me make sure that we're walking through this together.
Yeah.
I know just how important it is as spouses for y'all to be on the same page.
Absolutely.
About all things money. Katie, anything you would add just to that?
I think like with anything else that we do in community, when you bring things to other people, you can get so much out of it in that you maybe something you felt like was really scary or that you were alone in, you realize other people feel the same or are struggling mm-hmm. in the same way. Or something that was in the dark but is brought to the light, maybe it's a sin issue around money, then you can start the process of asking for forgiveness and trying to find ways to stop that sin habit. And so I think that if you enter in these conversations with the mindset of these are God's resources and not mine, I feel like it helps to kind of grease the emotional wheels, yeah. if you will.
Yeah. Even just last night, we're recording this on a Tuesday. And so on Monday night, I got a chance to go to community group and we were talking about this. I know a lot of groups took off for the summer, but our group's going to keep meeting. And so anyway, we were talking and had a really powerful, there was several others, but one in particular that had a very vulnerable, shared and confessed very vulnerably about just the temptation to cut corners, whether it's through work or through different, you know, government agencies. Mm-hmm. That, it was just a powerful moment where in tears, he's just confessing to our group and saying, I realize that I need to fully give my heart to God. And that's what he's asking for. Mm-hmm. So to your point, Katie, just it took so much guts, I'm sure, for him to even just bring that to the light and share that with others. And not that we all have a similar story like that, but just thinking about ways that we can just do a heart check with other people.
Yeah.
Just because this is, again, one area of our life. It reveals a lot of where our heart's at. But most likely, money generally then begins to open up conversations across the board. So it's not, the win isn't, okay, I just wrote a check.
No.
But then you're not you know, pursuing God, you're not spending time with him, you know, like all of these are connected. And so to have community mm-hmm. and people that right. you can be in scripture with, that you can be talking about other things that are on your mind, because it may be finances one day, but it could be marriage, family, kids, mm-hmm. a lot mm-hmm. of other things in life.
Well, and I think generosity is not just about money. I mean, it's about our talents. It's about our time. I mean, particularly about our time. And I loved one of the verses that Jose brought up, and it's 2 Corinthians 8, 12 through 14. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty and can share with you when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. I loved that verse mm-hmm. because it really puts into perspective that it's not about the amount that you're giving. It's the fact of it's your heart, that you have a heart to give.
So good. That's so good. Another plug, not only would I encourage you in that assessment of your heart to go online to the Gathering Guide and take that giving pathway assessment, but even just thinking at the slides here and just the points that Jose brought out of these two chapters in 2 Corinthians, where he talks about living generously looks like giving through the church, giving freely, giving responsively, giving eagerly, and giving cheerfully. And so mm-hmm. it may even start by just asking yourself or with a spouse or friend, just saying, hey, which one of these I feel like is easier for me to do, and then mm-hmm. which one maybe is harder for me. And I think in that conversation, a mm-hmm. lot of this is, again, just personal reflection, personal assessment to figure out, you know, where am I at? And then thanks to this resource, you know, the pathway and the resources available, the hope in the heart is that you would take just one step further. You don't need to just jump all the way to the top and then be a partner level yeah. giver right away. It's instead just thinking, okay, what are ways that I can just move to that next step? And I feel like that makes it much more manageable and makes it much more attainable just yeah. as we continue. Just like with everything in our spiritual yeah. walk is that yep. we're taking a step
yes.
in this direction.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because as we've talked to people about the concept of the pathway and we've gotten to hear people's personal generosity stories, it always prompts reflection on mm-hmm. when I was at different points in the pathway. And I think just like when maybe we're asked to tell our story, give our testimony in a community group or wherever, we look back on where we've been in our life and where the Lord has brought us. And it is just such a cool exercise. And we know it's an ongoing thing for our whole lives. Mm-hmm. And so it's not an arrival, it's the journey. And it just opens so many doors to see the Lord's faithfulness in our lives when we are obedient to his call on us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's such a good way to close. It's been a great conversation. Thank you all so much. I look forward to the next one already.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.